Listening Library presents Number the Stars by Lois Lowry, read for you by Blair Brown. 1. Why are you running? I'll race you to the corner, Ellen. Anne-Marie adjusted the thick leather pack on her back so that her school books balanced evenly. Ready? She looked at her best friend. Ellen made a face. No, she said, laughing. You know I can't beat you. My legs aren't as long. Can't we just walk like civilized people? She was a stocky 10-year-old, unlike lanky Anne-Marie. We have to practice for the athletic meet on Friday. I know I'm going to win the girls' race this week. I was second last week, but I've been practicing every day. Come on, Ellen, Anne-Marie pleaded, eyeing the distance to the next corner of the Copenhagen street. Please? Ellen hesitated, then nodded and shifted her own rucksack of books against her shoulders. Oh, all right. Ready? She said. Go! Shouted Anne-Marie, and the two girls were off, racing along the residential sidewalk. Anne-Marie's silvery blonde hair flew behind her, and Ellen's dark pigtails bounced against her shoulders. Wait for me, wailed little Kirsty, left behind, but the two older girls weren't listening. Anne-Marie outdistanced her friend quickly, even though one of her shoes came untied, as she sped along the street called Østerbrogade, past the small shops and cafes of her neighborhood, here in northeast Copenhagen. Laughing, she skirted an elderly lady in black who carried a shopping bag made of string. A young woman pushing a baby in a carriage moved aside to make way. The corner was just ahead. Anne-Marie looked up, panting, just as she reached the corner. Her laughter stopped. Her heart seemed to skip a beat. Halt! The soldier ordered in a stern voice. The German word was as familiar as it was frightening. Anne-Marie had heard it often enough before, but it had never been directed at her until now. Behind her, Ellen also slowed and stopped. Far back, little Kirsty was plodding along, her face in a pout because the girls hadn't waited for her. Anne-Marie stared up. There were two of them. That meant two helmets, two sets of cold eyes glaring at her, and four tall, shiny boots planted firmly on the sidewalk, blocking her path to home. And it meant two rifles, gripped in the hands of the soldiers. She stared at the rifles first. Then, finally, she looked into the face of the soldier who had ordered her to halt. Why are you running? The harsh voice asked. His Danish was very poor. 3 years, Anne-Marie thought with contempt. 3 years they've been in our country, and still they can't speak our language. I was racing with my friend, she answered politely. We have races at school every Friday, and I want to do well, so I... Her voice trailed away, the sentence unfinished. Don't talk so much, she told herself. Just answer them, that's all. She glanced back. Ellen was motionless on the sidewalk, a few yards behind her. Farther back, Kirsty was still sulking and walking slowly toward the corner. Nearby, a woman had come to the doorway of a shop and was standing silently, watching. One of the soldiers, the taller one, moved toward her. Anne-Marie recognized him as the one she and Ellen always called, in whispers, the giraffe, because of his height and the long neck that extended from his stiff collar. He and his partner were always on this corner. He prodded the corner of her backpack with the stock of his rifle. Anne-Marie trembled. What is in here? He asked loudly. From the corner of her eye, she saw the shopkeeper move quietly back into the shadows of the doorway, out of sight. School books, she answered truthfully.
Are you a good student? The soldier asked. He seemed to be sneering.
Yes.
What is your name?
Anne-Marie Johansson.
Your friend? Is she a good student, too?
He was looking beyond her at Ellen, who hadn't moved. Anne-Marie looked back, too, and saw that Ellen's face, usually rosy-cheeked, was pale, and her dark eyes were wide. She nodded at the soldier. Better than me, she said.
What is her name?
Ellen.
And who is this?
He asked, looking to Anne-Marie's side. Kirsty had appeared there suddenly, scowling at everyone. My little sister? She reached down for Kirsty's hand, but Kirsty,
always stubborn, refused it and put her hands on her hips defiantly. The soldier reached down and stroked her little sister's short, tangled curls. "Stand still, Kirsty," Anne-Marie ordered silently, praying that somehow the obstinate 5-year-old would receive the message. But Kirsty reached up and pushed the soldier's hand away. "Don't," she said loudly. Both soldiers began to laugh. They spoke to each other in rapid German that Anne-Marie couldn't understand.
"She is pretty, like my own little girl," the tall one said in a more pleasant voice.
Anne-Marie tried to smile politely.
"Go home, all of you. Go study your school books. And don't run. You look like hoodlums when you run."
The two soldiers turned away. Quickly, Anne-Marie reached down again and grabbed her sister's hand before Kirsty could resist. Hurrying the little girl along, she rounded the corner. In a moment, Ellen was beside her. They walked quickly, not speaking, with Kirsty between them, toward the large apartment building where both families lived. When they were almost home, Ellen whispered suddenly,
"I was so scared."
"Me too,"
Anne-Marie whispered back.